Crab Feast. You know what it's all about.
This is the Crab Feast. I'm yelling, fuck that. You ain't gotta ask me, cause you can trust that. Every Tuesday, you already knew though. Ryan Sickler, soccer star, JUCO. Above ground, cool goes, better than most. Jay Larson, self-diagnosed. Go down low this week, last week. Here we go again, fuck the Crab Feast.
It's the job.
To the Crab Feast, y'all.
Sickle cell.
Another Tuesday.
The Crab Feast. Well, that ass.
Good to see you and touch your pitch, Jay Larson comedy.
Lungs of this, Sickle. Good to see you too, baby. Good to be here with you, Feast Nation. Great to be here with you. JayLarsonComedy.com is my website where my special Me Being Me is available. Jay Larson Comedy on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to keep up to date with what I'm doing and just for entertainment's sake. I post any local shows usually on Twitter or Facebook. Usually I'm at the Comedy Store. That's where I'm going to be. Otherwise, I'm not many places. But tonight, I am in Huntington Beach at the Rec Room. I mentioned this last week. If anyone's in the area, please come down. If you go to therecroom.com, basically, I do an hour of all crowd work, the whole set. It's about 40 minutes. I do all crowd work. There's going to be some comedians before me. It's a great room. Great vibe. Hunter Hill put together. We've had him on the podcast. You guys know him from the Mudslide episode. And it's a great, great room. And it's super fun. And I have so much fun just doing crowd work. So if you're in the hood, know what's good, come on out. I would love to see you all. And then in July, I'm going to be at the Super Serious Show hosting out there. I get that dates to come. And I'm looking forward to it. But that's another in-town show. That's always a lot of fun. Sickle Cell.
Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. Going to keep giving Tops that mention, guys. Nothing beats the excitement you experience as a kid when you open Tops packs to look for cards of your favorite players and top rookies. Tops is offering you, that's right, you guys, the chance to create your own trading card just like the pros. All you have to do is go to tops.com, upload your picture, and the cards will be delivered to your doorstep in 3 to 5 business days. I want to see your Tops cards, guys. Get them loaded up. Start hitting us up on social media. Make sure you follow me on Instagram. Make sure you follow me on Twitter. You're going to be seeing videos, fun stuff for the Home Run Derby coming up. We're getting some ATCs going to be involved. We're going to have some fun events. It's going to be a good time. But still love, some of you have emailed what our bet should be. There's some very interesting, creative stuff you guys have there. I love seeing it. Keep it coming. You can check my dates on my website, ryansickler.com. As always, the Crab Feast info, anything Crab Feast related, thecrabfeast.com. Snag up your merch. Get those shirts out there. Summer's coming. Get your short sleeve Crab Feast tee. You know, we're on iTunes, Spotify, Laughable, all the good stuff out there. Subscribe to the podcast and make sure you follow the Crab Feast on Facebook and Twitter. Great sponsors this week, guys. Birdwell is back. Birdwell Beach Britches. Summer is here, and the beach, pool, and lake are calling. If you're wondering what to wear this year, forget about the flash-in-the-pan trends and guesswork and get classic surf style from Birdwell that will look good year after year. Birdwell Beach Britches has customers that have worn the same board shorts. This is legit. Our producer, Jeff, has some from when he was a kid for over 25 years, and they get better looking with every wear like a great pair of jeans. Birdwell Beach Britches is one of California's original surf shop board shorts. In 1961, surf mom Carrie Birdwell Mann transformed her small Southern California home into a sewing room and store, launching Birdwell and creating one of California's first surf shops. Birdies are legendary for their quality. Customers often come in Birdwell Santa Ana factory and store in the same pair of birdies they've been wearing for decades. Decades. Sometimes they see sons wearing 30-plus-year-old pairs that were once their father's. I don't think Jay's dad ever had a pair of these. Birdies are timeless. Burwell Beach britches look as good today as they did when surfers first started wearing them in 1961. Maybe better. Outside Magazine calls them the 501s of the beach. And here's something that's awesome. Birdies are guaranteed for life by their Santa Ana factory. Every pair of Birdwell Beach britches is individually inspected to ensure the highest quality and is covered by a lifetime guarantee. If a seam, stitch, or grommet breaks, you send it back to the factory, they'll fix it. To get 10% off your first Birdwell Beach britches purchase with lifetime guarantee and free shipping, that's over $99 order. Go to Birdwell.com and use discount code CRAB at checkout. That's discount code CRAB at Birdwell.com. You will get free shipping and 10% off your over $99 order. Pick up your first pair of birdies and see why they've been an American icon since 1961. Another great sponsor this week. You know how much we love bed sheets. Your boy Jay Larson and I have talked about it quite a bit. Brooklinen is back. Brooklinen.com. You spend a third of your life in your sheets. They make a difference with how you sleep. Start getting better sleep with the best sheets. Brooklinen.com, the best and most comfortable sheets. There's no big markup. Upgrade your nightly routine and help you feel more well-rested every day. They were founded in April 2014 by husband and wife team Vicky and Rich Fulop. Their philosophy: the most beautiful, comfortable home essentials. No crazy prices. No unnecessary markups and fees. Most bedding is marked up as much as 300%. That's ridiculous. And I've looked everywhere. You've heard us talk about it. From gas stations to the big stores to online. Brooklinen, best sheets I've ever had in my life. They're the fastest growing bedding brand in the world. Over 20,000 five-star reviews. Brooklinen sheets named the winner of best of online bedding category by Good Housekeeping. You know Jay reads that. Versatile colors and patterns you can mix and match to complement any decor. This is luxury bedding underpriced. You have to try these sheets today. My Brooklinen sheets are the best, most comfortable sheets I've ever slept on. We say it every time. Brooklinen.com has an exclusive offer just for our feasters. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use promo code FEAST at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident, they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all their sheets and comforters. All right, 60 nights satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all sheets and comforters. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use promo code FEAST at Brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code FEAST. Brooklinen, these are the best sheets ever.
Ladies and gentlemen, excited to have on for the first time, regardless of how he spells his name, Mr. Jeff Dye. Jeff Dye,
welcome to the Crab Feast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Thank you
for applauding yourself in. Oh, thank you.
You're doing it like a little seal.
Nice.
Yeah. Seal, yeah.
First of all, it's fantastic to have you here. I want to just say, to let all the feasters know, that Jeff Tice, not only a great comedian, but Jeff Tice is the guy who, here hanging on the wall, who gave us the Funky Crab Feast artwork shirt. Jeff Tice also designed the UPS t-shirt that so many of you also have out there. Jeff Tice also did our tour posters for the 2016 tour, both of those.
So a lot of you probably have Jeff Tice artwork in your home or on your body.
That's right. Or on your body, exactly. Well said, yeah. Because we also sold that as a t-shirt, that funky art one, too.
Yep.
So you might actually have more than one Jeff Tice
And if you're like me,
artwork.
You'll have a tattoo. I have a tattoo of...
Where's the tattoo at?
Just of your face. It's on my right cheek.
Just on my face.
So it is a pleasure to have someone who's been such a supporter of the Crab Feast on with us
today. I appreciate it, man. I was thinking I might be the second guest to have listened to every minute of the Crab Feast.
Who do you think the other one is?
Was it Jimmy Josh?
Jimmy Josh?
Adams?
I don't know if he's listening every second. I don't know about that.
Jimmy Josh has probably listened to the most minutes, though, because he'll repeat listen to episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does. He'll quote stuff that I don't even remember saying, because there's times, like I said, we'll record 3 or 4 episodes ahead.
Yeah. So. I remember, like, you met him to go to a basketball game, and he was scalping the tickets out front. He was buying them off some scalper for, like, nice tickets that you guys got. And you said he was listening to the podcast then.
Yeah.
That's exactly so funny. Right. That's so funny. I swear to God, you've probably called me while the podcast was playing. I'm like, really? Oh, shit. Yeah, I got it.
I love talking to you, dude.
That's great.
And you also, and for any of you Denver fans who don't know Jeff and saw us in 2016 out there on tour, Jeff opened for us at the show.
I opened for you guys, and then I offered you guys a ride home, and then you guys almost died the way home.
We didn't almost die. Show. Ride just overreacted.
I didn't say we almost. I've never once said we almost died, but we were. We had vehicle threat.
We did not. We had high speed traffic. Right.
We should not have been walking where we were.
Right. It was a sidewalk.
It wasn't. It ended. It's where the sidewalk ended. Great book, by the way. Where the fucking sidewalk ended. And then the degenerate that circled us a bunch.
Part of it,
that's the guy.
Once you told that story, I felt like part of that was on me.
It was.
Yeah,
it really was.
I was at like 85% because we had two open seats in our car. My wife and I pulled up all the way out, and you guys were like, "How far is it?" I'm like, "It's not. You'll be fine." And I literally said, "It's Denver. Like, you're fine." And then the next episode, you're like, "Yo, Denver. You almost killed us."
Look, I said it before. I said it to him, too. Denver has a cops episode, all right? Every fucking city has its shithole area. We just happened to walk right through it. But the other thing I liked about that night, Jay was on stage. I stepped outside to get – it was that cold, crisp air, and I hadn't seen snow yet, and you had a fresh little
such a good
dusting
feeling.
That was out there, and I just went outside and –
that's why we were walking, because we were, like, trying to walk to venues, walk home from them, and, like – just experience more of the city and then like recap and smoke a little and all that.
It's great.
It's gorgeous.
So it's great to have you here. Before we get into things, why don't you plug your social media, whatever you'd like. Give it all up.
Hit me up on Instagram. It's probably the best place to follow me, but it's just at Jeffrey Tice, GEOFFREYTICE. And cross-platform, Tight Strategy. Hit me up on Twitter, Facebook. It's all it's all artwork.
That's what people want to see, man.
Yeah, there's no comedy value. It's all comedy posters.
You
got to
check out his artwork. If you're looking for artwork, you got to hit up Jeff Tice. Go ahead.
And if you're not, hit it up anyway so your life can be a little more enriched.
Yeah.
Art is good for us.
I mean, can we just talk a little, just like, and we don't need to sit on it, but GEOFF and not JFF. You know,
JFF.
It's incorrect. It's objectively wrong.
Geoffrey. Why?
Why Geoffrey and not Jaff?
I don't know. So, my brother called me Goof for 10 years just because he's bigger than me. He's just like,
he's bigger than you?
He's a big dude.
All right, so you're 6'4", what?
230.
And he's, what is he?
He's like 6'5". And a cop.
Oh, there you go.
And so, yeah, he's always been bigger than me. I'm the youngest. I have an older sister, and she's tall. She's like 5'11", 6-ish, and then wears heels because her husband is like 6'5".
Damn.
When we walk into places, we look stupid. Like, everyone's ducking.
Your parents big, too, tall?
My dad's like 6 foot, and my mom's like 5'9".
Awesome. Your mom's tall,
too. Yeah, she's tall, too.
Walk into restaurants like, we don't want any trouble here.
Right. It's like, that's it. Yeah, and my brother, like, is such a cop, and so he just comes off as, like, a cop.
Yeah.
So anytime dealing with him, it's just like, we get it, man. You're a cop. But cool. But, yeah.
Well, we got a surprise for you, man. Hey, Officer Tice! Officer Tice! Get your ass in here, bro.
Cop ass in.
Comes in and just beats you.
Just shooting everybody. Cool. Yeah, so we're large. Just top to bottom. But I don't know. My brother's name's Ben and my sister's name's Katie, correctly spelled. And then they were like,
Geoffrey.
We're going to go with Goff, Goof, Jeff, G.
Just Ben, B-E-N-N? Like, you have two Fs?
No.
Yeah, right.
Standard. Just Benjamin. Yeah.
So I didn't know. So where were you born?
So I was born in Oceanside, California.
Oh, you're a California
from
boy.
California. And
how
I lived
long
there
were you here?
Till I was four. And so we only lived here. We lived in Oceanside. So the track, it looks like I'm a military kid, but I'm not. It's just my dad's a preacher, and so they move around a lot. And we were in California for 4 years, and then from there we moved to Australia. And so my dad...
Why Australia? What's...
And who moves? Does he move, or do they... Who's moving in?
So the church, the denomination that my dad was a part of...
gotcha.
Had a presence or like a whatever footprint. They were trying to church plant in Australia.
Is that what it's called? Church planting?
Church planting. It's or mission work. It's like, no, man, you're just there just being a problem. And so they...
What religion, by the way?
So it's Free Presbyterian. So it's a Reformed Baptist. So it's a very very strict. Specific. Yeah, it's very specific. It's basically Southern Baptist, but they just believe in a few different things. It's so like it's just
Free Presbyterian.
I've never heard that. Thank you. It's there's exactly. so many religions.
I wonder why they have. They need some more marketing because they can't get that plant work going.
That's Presbyterians trumping them up over there. Yeah. I've never heard Free Presbyterian.
Well, they're putting people in the middle of the fucking outback in the middle of nowhere, Australia, thinking that's going to change things. So they're fucking up. So
starting from the in and working out to the coast.
I guess. Yeah.
They'll get out to that Gold Coast eventually.
So yeah. So we lived in the middle of nowhere, like a town of 23,000 people
right
in Australia. Like southern coast. The way I describe it, like the continental US is the same exact size as Australia. So Australia is, if you put it on top of the US, it's roughly the same amount of land.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
It seems smaller, but this whole center of Australia is just desert. There's nothing there, and so everyone lives on the east coast, like that's where like Brisbane, Canberra, all those main cities are. Mm-hmm. And then we lived dead center southern coast, almost where like Texas would be. Yeah. And then there's nothing from where we were all the way over to basically where LA or San Diego would be, and there's a city called Perth all the way out there.
Yeah, I've heard of
and
Perth.
Perth's beautiful.
Yeah,
a lot of it's beautiful, but it's all just hot and desert and dusty and
Perth
dangerous.
Is desert? It's not a
no. Perth's okay, not a desert. Yeah. I mean, everything outside of Perth is, but yeah. Perth is like an awesome port city, right on the Indian Ocean. So it's like the beautiful turquoise. Jeez.
Oh, really?
We spent time out there. It's awesome. Perth's great.
Yeah,
yeah.
So, it being a preacher, does that run in the family? Is that something that's handed down?
Yeah, yeah. So my whole family, my uncle is a preacher. My grandfather was a preacher.
All on your dad's side.
All on my dad's side. My mom's side, no. But they were definitely like religious. My parents met at a hyper conservative Christian college called Bob Jones University.
BJU, y'all. I know BJU.
Yeah, BJU. And if you know anything about Bob Jones, it's like probably the most they
fucked up my NCAA bracket this year. So I had them going to Sweet 16. Yeah,
Cinderella, man, they had it.
Bob Jones, that's for real. The school.
How many kids go to that school?
They're hemorrhaging 11. Kids, but probably 14 now. It probably 2,500, 3,000 maybe.
Oh, wow.
It's tiny private.
Not Robert Jones. It's literally Bob Jones University.
Bob Jones University.
That sounds like a fucking car dealership.
I've met totally. Bob.
Bob Jones Chevrolet.
Yeah,
you know Bob.
Come on down.
Well, you're gonna get to say hi to him again.
Bob Jones. Get jazz in here.
Bring
Bobby.
In a diploma or two.
Oh man, but yeah, so my whole family, my parents, my grandparents, my brother and sister, all went to Bob Jones University. And then I went to the University of Colorado Boulder.
Yeah. Oh,
most,
really?
Like left.
Yeah.
Yeah. Public school you could go to.
How did your parents feel about that?
At first, my parents are cool as hell. They're super cool. But my dad was like, "Yeah, do whatever you want. Like that's great." My mom.
If you want to burn in hell? Go ahead.
That's it. Yeah. This is your funeral, man. We won't go to that funeral. Right, but that's right. Cool. Yeah. No, they're so cool. And so my mom. It's all she knew, and so she was pushing pretty hard for that. Like, I would walk into my room, and there would just be, like, an application and, like, a little
Bob pamphlet. Jones would be sitting on the bed, what's up, Jeff?
And I couldn't put it in the trash fast enough. I was like, oh, shit. I'd have to smoke.
Where is that?
It's in South Carolina. It's in Greenville. And so that's where my brother lives now, because after college, he stayed.
Oh, that's where Rory's from, right?
Yep. Yeah. Yep, same place. Yeah, yeah, agree. Yeah. So, yeah, ask Rory about it. He'll love it. And so we... my whole family went there, and then once I went through a semester, so I didn't go to freshman year at CU, Colorado. I ended up going to Northern Colorado, which is a smaller state school up just in this small little cow town in Northern Colorado. I was trying to play basketball, and then they were like, we don't want you to play basketball here.
Really?
Really?
So, yeah. Well, so I tried out. For the team, I had two friends on the team already that I played against in high school, and we were all like just we competed against each other in like club teams and stuff. And then they said put in a good word with the coach, and I got a tryout, like an invite only. And there was like 15 of us, and we show up like 6 in the morning. We do a workout, and then they made cuts the first day, and they chopped us down to 6 people to bring back the next day. And I'm like, cool, I have a good shot. I made that 6. I come back the next day. One of the guys of those 6 had one hand.
Shut up, dude.
Fucking what? And he had
they brought his ass back.
Like halfway through the first workout, everyone was like, what the fuck is going on?
Okay, when you say one hand, was it a deformed, the other hand a deformed hand, or was it, as we say in Maryland, going?
It was going. So he had, like, at the wrist, it was like a, like just a,
listen,
a nub.
Are you a handist?
Yeah, I am after this story.
You gotta watch your step, man, okay? I'm sorry to get drafted for the NFL, man. I don't need no handism in there.
So he has a stub right at the wrist, so the hand is just gone. The way I like it, no hands allowed. He had then like this, it's kind of like a sleeve, like almost like a little shooting sleeve. And then on the top for his hand, it was like this carbon fiber like mitt. And it was like flexy with like kind of webbing in between it.
Oh, so he had something.
Totally. He wasn't just playing with one hand the whole time. He had something that you could support the shot with, catch, and maybe like cross over. So he was good. He wasn't terrible.
Couldn't shoot with it.
He couldn't shoot with it, but he could shoot with the other hand, and you know, so he wasn't like doing left-handed layups.
Touch pass like a mother.
I'd be triple teaming him into the fucking corner. Well, but I tell everybody, all three, you get over there, trap him in the corner. He's got one hand.
Rip that hand up.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, get in that corner.
We're winning
there.
This, but we're going to States. Goddamn.
Full court press.
That's what I would do. Yeah. Hey, if you're in the game, then that's part of the strategy.
D1 college basketball. I'm grabbing that hand and yanking on it.
Yeah. Yeah. It probably fucking knock you out, carbon fiber hand, real quick, like top, stun you real quick in the nose. You. Yeah.
So we're working out. We make it to the second round. He shows up, and I was like, okay, like, all right, he's here. Like, that's fine.
What was he, like a guard?
Yeah. He was probably like my height. And like D1 college basketball, I'm 6'4". I was like, that's point guard. Like, you got to have.
Yeah,
like,
you're small.
I'm a small
dude. At 6'4", you're small.
And so, you know, whatever. And so he's playing. Everything's great. They sit us down after that tryout, and they sit us down after 2 days of working.
Everyone,
the coaches,
sit everyone down.
Lefty, get on in.
Yeah, come on in. And he goes. The coach goes, and the coach at the time at Northern Colorado. It's also funny because it's UNC, and you would tell people like, "I'm trying to play basketball at UNC." And they're like, oh, Tar Heels, baby. And you're like, nah, Bears, Northern Colorado. And they're like,
it's Stackhouse.
Get the fuck out of here. Yeah, yeah. They hate it. And so they sit us down, and they were like, thanks for coming out. Like, 2 days, you guys were great. Like, you guys made the select. I think it was six people left, all this, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, we're actually recruited a full roster, and we're all good on scholarships, but we need team managers. And we're all like pouring sweat thinking we're trying to get a spot on a D1 team.
Yeah.
And he's like,
they're killing you to hold Gatorade?
Yeah, we need like practice cones to take heavy screens from dudes that deserve to be on the team.
Yeah.
And so, So everyone was just like, oh, no, we're good. Like, that's fine. And so I ended up not playing, obviously. I didn't want to be a manager. And then so I just played for another year. Like,
fucked up intramurals, though.
That's what it was. Like, we had enough of our friends to just, have a really good intramural team. And that was fun. And then I transferred. So my wife, girlfriend at the time, we've been together since high school. She was at CU or Colorado in Boulder. And so I was like, I'll just transfer and I'll try to walk on there. And the coach at the time was a
guy comes in with no leg.
One leg. I tried for the wheelchair team. That's what it was, I walk in, and the coach at the time was Jeff Bizdelic. He was at the Nuggets.
You're not going to believe this right now. Jeff Bizdelic! Dribble your ass in here.
Get in here, belly.
Get the weave going, Jeff.
Light it up. And so I go in, and they basically said, you can walk on, give you a shot at least. And
just because they see how tall you are and they're like, it's worth it.
Yeah. And I worked out.
And you're not lanky. I mean, you're not certainly not fat by any means at all, but you got size. You're not that toothpick.
Yeah. And they, for a guard, like, I'm a decent size for a guard. And so I go in.
Can you handle the ball? Are you a good dribbler?
Yeah. I'm okay. Not D1, but And he lets me work out with the team. Everything's great. He basically said, no scholarship, but you can be on the team. And I was like, dude, that's Pac-12 basketball. Like, that's great. Like, I can't wait. I just wanted free sweats, like in Nikes, basically. And I was like, I'll sweat it out for 2 years to just for the gear and go to travel with the team. Like, that'd be amazing. And then because of Bizdelic's contract, I think they didn't start building some practice facility in time, or he didn't get some clauses didn't clear or whatever. And so he left that summer.
That he gave you the okay?
The guy that was like, sounds great, man.
It's like your Colt story right here.
Yep. So basically you're going to be, you know it,
Yeah.
But you're on the team and you're going to ride the bench.
Yeah.
Maybe you kill some minutes in a blowout. Maybe you get your Rudy moment, some shit like that.
At this point in time, I'm just getting dunked on in like pickup games by like the good players.
Yeah. Right.
And that's fine. I'm like, this is awesome.
Oh my God, your nuts were on my head on that one, man.
And so then Vizdelic leaves, and then that summer, the next coach that gets the job is Tad Boyle, the coach from UNC, Greeley, Northern Colorado. Way. And he comes in, he's like, this dude, get the fuck out of here.
For real?
Yeah, not like that aggressive, but I just wasn't on the team. They're like kind of flipped, got his own players in there, whatever happened. But I was just like, yeah, I'm good.
So you got cut twice.
By the same dude.
For two D1 teams.
Yeah, and the first time, there was a dude better than me with one hand. And so that's how good I am.
That's amazing.
Wow, I can't get over that guy got the job.
Yeah.
How long did he last?
He's still there. He's a great coach. Oh, he knows what he's doing. He's right. Like, he funny, was for know, sure we, he's right.
We're recording him next week, so we may have to bump this out.
Get this timeline going. Yeah. No, he's correct. So.
All right. So
wait, hold on. Real quick, I just want to know, what were your like high school stats?
Like game numbers?
How'd you do in practice? Yeah, game. Like, would you average a game?
Like, average a game, probably like 15 to 20. I played the 5 spot, though. So I was post because I was a 6'4 dude on just the whitest suburban team you've ever seen. And so I would play inside out.
Oh,
and so
man.
I could shoot the 3, but I was normally just doing baby hooks, getting my ass kicked by bigger dudes.
Yeah.
It would be like 15 points.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did BJU have a team?
No, they're all intramurals.
At Bob Jones University?
Yeah, they might not be anymore.
You didn't miss your opportunity over there?
I don't even know if they're accredited, honestly. Yeah.
It's just a warehouse. 2,500 people show up.
It's hard to shoot a Bible from 35 feet out. So they were good, you know.
All right.
Got a couple of looks. I could have probably played D2, but I tried. And then they said, thanks. But yeah.
You said you've seen some scraps over basketball. I asked you about fights, and you said pickup basketball.
Yeah, pickup basketball is my favorite. It's my favorite thing to do. I play pretty much every weekend. Friend of the Crab Feast, Brant Tobler, we always talk about playing. He's always out trying to play. But we
does he have game?
I think so.
Yeah?
Yeah, he can shoot. He
snuck into that basketball game. I told him to come back and talk about it.
He's from Wyoming, everyone knows. And we were talking about people that we know. And I was like, I played against a high school team from Wyoming in high school, like from Gillette. And he was like, there's a dude on one of the teams that I played against, James Johnson. And he ended up playing in the NBA. And I had to guard him in a tournament. And I just remember we're doing layup lines. And I'm the tallest guy on the team. I'm 6'4". I'm like, this is, whatever. I have to guard their big guy. I look over, and there's a 6'8 dude throwing the ball off the backboard, doing, like, under-the-legs windmill dunks. And our whole team is just not warming up, just watching them.
Yeah.
And we're like, yeah, we're fucked. Like, we're screwed. He scored, like, 100 points on me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you dunk?
Yeah.
You can.
Yeah. But not like that.
Right.
Not. And so. But, yeah, the pickup games, man, like, I'm a pretty nice person. Basketball is the only thing that will get me.
That's your liquor?
That's my number one. Like, I will go from zero to...
Yeah, some people drink liquor and they just turn into an angry.
It's
pick up basketball
totally
for you.
I think it's the only thing I feel that I have control over that's like, nah, like, I can beat you at this, especially at a pickup game. And it'll just go from, if someone's better than me, I'll probably end up fighting them. It's just a bad situation. But
because you can't take they're better than you?
No, it's just I'm too competitive. And so I just want to win. And it's such like that. It's such a bro. Like, it's such bullshit. And so, yeah. The cop showed up to one game. Not even a game. It's like a morning.
That's what I'm laughing at. It's a pickup.
It's a rec center.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it just got really chippy. Really fast, and then I was kind of shoving a little bit, and then this other dude came in, started fighting with the guy I was fighting with, and then luckily I took a step back and I was like, I'm not getting into this, even though I was definitely starting it. And I grabbed the dude by the shirt and just kind of like just jostled him a little bit, and then the guy on my team just whap hits him, and then I was just like, all right, we're done. And yeah,
so he's like hit him as if like you were holding him for him,
kind of. Yeah, so it didn't look good.
No,
for me.
And then melee.
Yeah, it kind of.
And the police showed up.
Yeah, they
arrest anybody?
Nah, no. They were just like, stop being dickheads.
Not our team. Our team. We were in. It was a game that mattered. Our Goldie spit in a referee's face, and that was the night I learned that that's an aggravated assault. He was arrested on the field and taken to Baltimore City.
Indoor
jail.
Soccer?
Yeah. I went in the goal after
I played
that.
A lot of indoor soccer.
He spit in the guy's face. We were like, what are you fucking even
so
thinking?
Aggressive.
He's like, I don't know what I was thinking. We're like, clearly, jail. But jail. Baltimore City, jail.
Damn.
At midnight. You know, we were in a midnight league.
Yeah.
Yeah, downtown. Yeah.
That's so funny.
What are you in for? I stabbed two people down the corner. How about you? I was playing soccer.
So
that's exactly what you
football?
Have to say.
No, soccer.
No, soccer. I spit on the referee. Soccer.
I played indoor goalie for a long time. And I
Goldie.
Yeah. Goldie. I played Goldie in Baltimore. And I played in Boulder. And all my buddies are soccer buddies. And
were you good? I mean, you're big. You could take up. You could swallow up that fucking net. But you can't get to the ground as easy.
That's it. It's mostly just I could have coordination from basketball, right. And that translated enough to play.
But if I kept
soccer,
the ball on the floor, as they say, you'd have a hell of a hard time.
It would probably go in. Yeah. And so,
you see, Egypt's goalie, I was just doing some research. Egypt's goalie for the World Cup this year, he's 46.
Nah.
What?
Yeah, is he really?
He's the oldest guy in the World Cup.
That's older than me right now.
Yeah.
Holy
46.
I couldn't imagine being in a World Cup
World Cup
with
goalie.
Guys in their 20s with cannon legs just rifling balls. Watch, it's going to be like 9-0.
I'm
rooting Egypt on now for that. I love the underdog. That's you're 100% right about that. 46 years old.
He must be nasty. Maybe it's 45, but it's 45
still,
or 46. I think it was
still,
46. Yeah.
To be an athlete on a world level.
World Cup.
I mean, he's got to be good if he's the unless it's one of those things where you just don't know if like the young guy got hurt and that's all they have, or is he the guy they've been riding with through qualifying?
Yeah,
then he's
got to
be good. We're not even in the World Cup.
Yeah,
taking shots from like 22-year-old kids, just lasering it. Yeah. It's gonna be terrifying.
His kids are probably that age. He's probably out back fucking like just shoot as hard as you fucking can at him.
Yeah. So I played goalie, and it was the championship game of like our whatever league we're in, and I wasn't wearing gloves like an idiot. Like an idiot. And so I was just like, this is fine. And I had played the whole season without them just because I like to palm the ball and it's dumb. And ball skips off. First shot of the game, dude's really close to me, skips off the wall and just rips my pinky back.
Oh.
Just destroys it. And so the top part of my pinky just flew off.
Ew, what do you mean?
Like it dislocated at the knuckle, that mid knuckle. And then the bone part of my hand just like ejected, came like right through the
Holy
skin here.
Shit. Like the bone stayed and the skin just peeled right over.
Yeah, it just popped right out.
Holy
and this part
fuck.
Was like the top part of my pinky was just completely like just flopping around.
Yeah.
And so I looked down and it happened so fast that it didn't hurt. It just happened like in an instant. I looked down and my pinky's just like pointing straight at the ground. I'm like, oh, all right. And then my first thought was like, don't freak out. Like, don't lose your mind.
I want to know if you saved it. Did you save it?
Yeah. It didn't go in.
He just looked over.
That's automatic. It hurts way worse if you let it in.
He looked over and the guy from the basketball team on hand is like, don't be a pussy.
This fun guy.
Welcome to the team. You're going to need this. Yeah.
You got a carbon finger. He's got a hand.
Oh, shit. And so I look down and I'm just like, oh, shit. And I kind of covered it with my other hand. And I look over at one of my teammates. I was like, I got to go. Like, I got to get out of here. And he went pale. Like, he freaked out. He's like, yeah, like, get out of here right now. And so I went to the emergency room and I'm in like soccer gear.
How old are you?
I'm probably 25.
Did you drive yourself?
No. So my buddy took me. But it was just down. It was really close. I walk in. I'm wearing full soccer gear. I'm pouring sweat. I look like a psychopath. And the waiting room's packed. There's so many people in there. I don't know why. It's a Monday night. I walk in, and I walk right to the front. But no one can see my hand. So it just looks like I'm being a dick, like just cutting everyone in the line. And there's this couple sitting there checking in with – I think the woman had some issue. And I kind of lean over her shoulder – and to the lady checking him in, I go, hey.
Dripping blood on everybody.
Gosh, well, it happens so, and I think that it was,
on her shoulder,
it was
like,
excuse
God
me, man.
Damn.
This little chicken wing off your ear, please. Yeah. And I go, hey, by the way, I don't really know how to say this. I was like, but my finger is falling off. And I just was covering it up. And the lady was like, no, it's not. What are you talking about? And I like kind of you know, unveiled it, and it was right next to that lady's face checking in, and she just scooted back so fast. She's like,
yeah, I would too.
And the lady behind the counter goes, oh my God. And then I'm just sitting there. She goes, they let me go, and I start checking in. Just she's like, yep, yep, we'll get you back there. I'm sitting there just staring at my finger, and I'm looking at my finger, and I start pouring sweat. I start getting super nauseous, and there's tunnel vision, just shocked. And I'm.
But we're talking, what, 30 minutes or so have passed now, and you're just starting to get shocked now?
Yeah, just now.
And pain's not throbbing at this point yet either?
Zero pain from start to finish. I don't know if it's just adrenaline or what it was. I had zero pain. I think it happened so fast.
And the bone, like the whole bone is sticking out?
Yeah.
Just like you can see your whole pinky all the way up that bone, no, like skeleton.
You can just see skeleton of the first knuckle. So this part is like just off and back. It's like if you just snapped it back and then this part popped out.
The way you just fucking
Great. It's not great. And I'm telling this lady, I'm like, yeah, I'm getting tunnel vision. I'm getting real nauseous. And like she leans over the counter like she goes, yeah, stop looking at it. Like you idiot. Like she had enough. She was like, you are an idiot. And I was just like, yeah, you're right. And like look up. I'm like, oh, that was fine. But yeah, and
damn,
then
I don't even know what I would do.
I'd
probably suck it up and finish the game.
I definitely wouldn't have left.
Yeah,
I
mean, it's a championship game. You got to win.
I mean, I know it's men's league.
What was it, pickup?
No, yeah.
Well,
yeah, men's league. The
so what happened
league
to
championship?
It?
So
they cast it. What do they do?
So it was actually all that surgery? To say it was a lucky break because it didn't actually break. It's technically nothing in my hand broke. No matter how violent that motion was,
dislocated.
Dislocated. It's called an open dislocation. Literally, it's the same as pulling your finger, the knuckle apart, and putting it back together. None of my bones in my hand
it
broke.
It just popped through the skin, though.
That's all. It just looked so.
That's what I didn't hurt.
That's
it was
what he
nothing.
Said.
Yeah. You got
all.
Cut. You got a cut, pretty much.
And then, then once I got it fixed, I went to like a hand specialist like 2 weeks later, and it's all wrapped up, and like I'm trying to just like nurse it back. And the dude was so nonchalant about just being like. First of all, he goes. Yeah, if you're like an indoor goalie for a living, that was like how we started it. I was like, yeah, man, I'm out here
for
on the indoor goalie circuit. Like, what are you talking about?
You heard of me?
Yeah. And then he goes, if you can take the pain, just wrap it up and get back out there. And I was like, this is the worst medical advice I've ever had in my life. That's it. And then I was done.
What is he? And a gym teacher from the 80s?
Yeah, yeah.
And it healed clean like that, just resetting it?
It kind of like has that lump in it. There's like a little itch in it.
That's not bad for
what
you
said.
But no,
it's great.
But not fun to look at. Look at that thing.
It looks all right to me.
It is a pretty horrific break, but yeah.
Damn, dude.
And I was like, I'm probably just going to play pickup basketball from now on.
Sorry to interrupt you guys, but when it comes to buying wine, you need some advice because most of our choices are made out of habit. We don't remember how we found our favorites. We just know that when we're at checkout, those same brands and bottles are in our carts week after week. First Leaf is a new online wine club that's putting a stop to boring wine buying and helping you discover your new favorite wines. Every shipment is curated to your taste based on your ratings of the wines. Basically, what happens is you start by answering, hey, this is the kind of wine I like. They send you wine. Then you drink your wine. You rate them, you send back your ratings, and the next time they send you wines that are going to be even more specific to your taste. Then at the same time, they're going to expand a little bit and start showing you things that like, oh, if you like that, then you're going to like this. So you're not just buying the same old boring wines. I know for me and Kate, for a long time, Kate was just like, you know, she liked rosé. Now it's like an unoaked Chardonnay. But now off of this, we're going to tail off that unoaked Chardonnay and try out some new whites. And I'm pretty stoked about it. I'm not even a white wine guy. Here's the best deal. The first 3-pack of wine you get is based for your flavor profile. Each bottle is $5, but the wines usually go for like $20 a piece. You know what I mean? That's ridiculous. So it's already a savings. And if you sign up right now with our link, you'll get an exclusive intro offer. It's 3 bottles of wine for only $15 plus free shipping. That's not all. If you rate these 3 wines, you'll get an extra $10 off your next box. Just go to tryfirstleaf.com/crab. tryfirstleaf.com/crab. Go get some wine. Let's get back to the podcast.
So I want to go back to, you dropped a couple of things. Growing up in Australia, I want to talk about what that's like. You've been married. You said high school sweetheart.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Australia a little bit. You were four or five when you went there?
Four. Yeah.
And how long were you there?
I was there for 8 years. So when I was 12, we moved back to the States. My mom's from Colorado, from Denver, and so we moved to Denver because my grandmother passed away. So we're like, oh, come back, take care of the family. My great-grandmother was still alive.
Damn.
And so my, yeah, my mom's, oh, sorry, my grandfather, my mom's dad passed away. My mom's mom was still alive. So my great-grandmother and my grandmother were alive here in Denver or back in Denver. And so we went and took care of them. And I've just been there ever since. But yeah, and so...
Was your dad still preaching then in Denver?
No. So once we moved back, he stopped preaching and he became, or he always was like a fabricator, like an iron worker.
Mm-hmm.
And so he does that for like his day job. And then he has a church that he preaches at in Denver. And when we moved back, my dad loves Australia, like loves it. And so he was like, I think, pretty bummed that we moved back. But yeah, growing up there, I mean, it's wild. Like I'm so lucky. I've had the greatest childhood you could have ever asked for. Like we lived in the middle of nowhere, small little town, 23,000 people, little steel town called Wyala. And when I meet other Australian people, they most of the time have no idea where that is.
Wow.
Because it's such a small, out of the way town. I was in Vegas and I was cashing out. It was like 2 a.m. at the MGM. And this is probably 22 at the time. I walk up and there's a ton of Australians that visit Vegas. And I hear a guy speaking in an Australian accent and me drunkenly go like, oh, where are you from, man? And he goes, I'm from Adelaide, which Adelaide is the capital of South Australia. So I was 4 hours west of Adelaide. So he may or may not know the town that I lived in. And I was like, oh, cool, man. I lived in Wyala for 8 years, but I said it with like an American accent. And I got the most Australian response. Like at the top of his lungs, he goes, shut the fuck up, mate. And I was like, Jesus. And I was like, yeah, this dude knows where I'm from. Yeah. Like, that's all. He was just yelling at me. And so, yeah, it's a tiny little place. And we lived on the edge of town.
There's not a lot of Crab Feast fans in Australia. Dude, I'm curious if any of them hit you up now from Wyala. Is that how
Wyala,
you say it?
Wyala, South Australia. Yeah, yeah. It's a tiny little. And it's right on the Gulf, the Spencer Gulf. And so we're on the water, but we lived on the... like the west side of town up against like the bush, like the outback. And so we would have kangaroos in our front yard.
Really?
Yeah, because you would water kind of.
Like, they like your so deer, dry. Basically?
Absolutely. You would hit them with your car. Like they're just everywhere. Especially, yeah.
You make it sound like that's something people do.
Like swerving at them?
Yeah, like, oh, there's one right there.
Yeah, let me get that. Let me get that.
That one.
Yeah.
Like that's what we do for deers too.
Yeah. No, it's just like deer. Like, they'll fuck a car up.
Yeah, I was going to say deer.
Yeah, they kill people. And they're nocturnal, so they're out at night. Yeah. Cause problems.
We went to a kid's party over the weekend, and we're pulling in. It's like out by Temescal. And it was like this canyon, like where you can hike, but there's all these like little parks. So we're going by, and there's a one park on the right, and there were two deer. And I go, oh my God, I go, look at this deer over there. And my daughter doesn't turn quick enough. She's like, what deer? And I go, cake. My wife goes, oh, we'll see him on the way back, right? So go to the party for 3 hours, leave, and then, like, you know, we scoop past the park. You don't say anything, you know? And then, like, we're about to, like, we're almost home. And then we're like, all right, we're almost home, guys. We're going to get home, blah, blah, blah. And my daughter goes, I want to see the deer!
Held like, on to that shit.
Like, no deer. You're fucking missed it.
It's gone.
Well, we'll hit one with a car over here.
So yeah, so they
did you ever hit one?
No, you would
box one.
Yeah, beat the shit out of him all the time, one handed.
It's still that. That's the greatest video. That guy ran right up and punched that kangaroo in the face to get his dog back.
And they're so big, and they would be out in like we had a big park behind our house, and then after that it was just nothing, just desert. And you would get them creeping in on the park because they would have sprinklers and they'd water that grass. So they'd come in and eat because it's so dry, and if you get up early enough, we would take our bikes and just chase them. And like, but you can't get close to them. Like they're.
I was going to say, if they get scared, won't they turn around and just fuck you up?
No. If you get that close, they are. Yeah, they're terrifyingly dangerous. If you get like that close. If
like
you,
what's the average height of a kangaroo?
Probably, I would say like 5 foot to. I've seen like 6 foot
kangaroos. I was going
to
say. Okay.
Like they get big. And they also get.
That's big. Know. I thought they were bigger. Yeah. I thought they'd be like 6'4", 6'5".
Well, you can't. They
honest.
Definitely. That definitely really exists. Do. That definitely exists.
I know you're about to say.
I don't know what to say, Ryan.
About the average height of a kangaroo. I want to know.
I don't know. I don't know know how I would know. I have no idea what the average height would be. Standing, stretched, I don't know.
I figured the guy that grew up with like
woolly mammoths over there.
I want to know head to head if you're taller at 6'4" than a kangaroo.
I'm guessing that there's probably some
but
out
there. That motherfucker could stand an inch from you, jump
back on his G2 performer.
Pop those feet on your chest.
Well, yeah. It's funny. They teach you so early in Australia, like, hey, just so you know, stay away from everything. Like everything, like spiders, snakes, like lizards.
It's like the most deadliest continent, isn't
everything,
it?
even the animal that everyone loves, like, oh, kangaroos, like, will fuck you up.
And I hear koalas have STDs, like
they
crazy
are
STDs
nightmare
and shit.
Little animals, yeah. Like they're garbage. And so people, yeah, they're just, yeah, every animal there will destroy you. And so we used to have assemblies in Australia growing up in primary school, like elementary school, that was basically animal awareness. And we would have a guy, like, picture like a crocodile hunter type guy from like the local like flora and fauna like a zoo, and he would bring in like in Rubbermaid tubs like poisonous snakes, lizards, spiders in jars, just so at a young age you learn how to identify those animals quickly. Because if you come across like a king brown snake, which is a super venomous, like a big snake, like we had those rolling through our front yards.
I was going to ask, is that like the shit you find in the garage and shit like that?
Yeah. So we'd have that. King Browns were the ones that everyone like had to worry about. Those were the big ones. And so they're super dangerous. And then a little further north of us, they'd have inland taipans, which I think that might be like number one or two in the world of like venomous snakes. And so people are going to get so upset by how wrong these stats are, but...
Kangaroos 4'8".
Yeah.
Well, you've got marsupials, so you've got kangaroos, koalas. Is wombats a marsupial?
Marsupial as
what
well.
What else is over there?
Platypus.
Oh, yeah, platypus.
Platypus
side? That's right.
I will say this. Ryan Sickler might be one of the only comedians I've ever heard, and I haven't heard a lot of Australian comedians, use marsupial in a bit.
Yeah.
Right? Remember you used to have that joke? You're like, you're bringing a marsupial into the room. Remember? You having like, sex with that chick?
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah, I most people ask why I don't have an accent, because that's like, you know, I was 4
primed, yeah.
And yeah, and so I can flip it back and forth. And so I have a bit where I talk about, like, I do the whole bit in an Australian accent, and it's great because it's like it just gets people to snap to attention on stage. People are like, oh shit, he's Australian now.
Yeah.
And it's not like a cartoonish goofy mm-hmm. one. It like works. And so it's a really nice trick on stage.
Did you ever have run-ins with any of these animals?
Not kangaroos. We would go fishing and spear fishing a lot. Just like in like
spear fishing.
Well, it's not even like real spear fishing because we were young, and so we would take
More like with a rod.
Yeah, just a club. We go out there.
You
and
guys
start,
call fish.
Yeah, we just punch fish, and so it's like a Hawaiian sling, and so it's like this big long aluminum rod, and then it has these 5 prongs on the end of it. And then so that just glides through the water. Yeah. But then on the end of the other end where you're holding, it has like surgical tubing in a loop. And then you kind of hook your thumb through the surgical tubing, and then you reach up and grab the top of the spear. And then so when you have like you just have a snorkel and like fins, and you kind of just cruise around in the surf, and you'll find like little small schools of fish, and then you can just let it go, and it just kind of launches it 5 to 10 feet in front of you, and like we'll stick a fish, and you kind of hold on to the surgical tubing.
I see.
So we would do that, and that was super fun. But where we lived in the Gulf, depending on the conditions, it got pretty sharky pretty fast. And so the other one, the one time we ran into where it like got a little sketchy is we were having a cookout on the beach, 1,000 degrees. And so everyone, when it was so hot, we would cook all your barbecue, and then you take like a boogie board or like a surfboard, and then you would put all your food on it, and then just wade out into the surf, just like into the, just kind of like up to your chest. And then it's like you're at a table, but in the water to stay cool.
Yeah.
And everyone was kind of doing that. Kids were playing. We're all hanging out. And I was in the water. My dad had his plate on a surfboard right in front of him, facing the shore. And then this huge sand shark, which I think this might be wrong, are harmless, but terrifying nonetheless, to like just come in, and it just slides right in between my dad and the shore, just kind of loops around, hangs
huge.
Out there.
Huge. How big you think?
Like 8 foot maybe? Like I was young, so it probably, it might have not been that big. But
twice the size of a normal kangaroo.
Yeah,
fucking
just your
take
average
wet towels
size,
and lay them over me on the beach. I ain't getting in that goddamn water. towel. I would show up with wet towels, bro.
And so everyone got the hell out of there. But yeah,
fuck yeah.
It just kind of cruised away, and then that was the end of the barbecue. No one was in the water anymore.
Yeah, you just don't. I mean, and there's no way to tell where they are. You know what I mean?
No. Till they're there.
Yeah. So we, like you said, like marsupials, we had, we lived in this small town, and we would go to this church camp. Since my dad's a preacher, there was like a small little, there's another small town, a big like tuna fishing town called Port Lincoln. And the church from that town and our town would get together, and then we'd all go to this church camp out in like I say, this is all the middle of nowhere. This was like super middle of nowhere. We drive like a couple hours to this church camp, and it's one of those things you look back now and you're like, what? We were allowed to do this shit? Like, it's so dangerous. And it would be at night, since marsupials are nocturnal. Wombats, we would go catching wombats.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just got a bunch of like 11 and 12 year old kids in the back of these sheep. Like, they're called utes, which is just a truck. It's like a small, it looks like an El Camino, but with like big grates on the side for throw the sheep up in there or like whatever. We all hop in the back at night with spotlights. And so you're just cruising through these massive fields, and wombats are like, I guess there's not prairie dogs out here, but do you guys have prairie dogs?
In the U.S., but not out here.
Yeah. So they
you
look
know,
like,
out here in the non
U.S. Out here in the
well, I mean, when you said here, I thought you meant the continental United States.
No, I meant in California.
It's a good question. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe.
But they burrow and they make these like mini craters. But so wombats do that, but just kind
of. So they don't live in trees?
Wombats live in the ground.
See?
Koalas live in the trees.
Yeah, I know that one. Yeah. But I thought.
No, wombats burrow. They have these massive claws, and they just look like little furry bowling balls. And they,
like a hedgehog?
But yeah, but they're like probably like they get real big.
Oh, like a badger or something like that?
Even yeah. Yeah.
Damn, dude. Yeah,
they you know big. The size of an average badger?
Well, what he's 6'4". Doing with his hands over there. What he's doing over his hands
twice
over there.
The size of a
badger. Raccoon yeah, or right, badger, so. I'd yeah. say. Yeah, that's a raccoon yeah. right there.
They get pretty big. And so they dig these massive burrows, and you just can see fields of them, and it just looks like little volcanoes all across. And so we would drive the truck through that. Like, you could get a tire stuck in a burrow, it would be that big of a ditch.
Mm-hmm.
But you're out in the middle of the night just mobbing through this field with a bunch of kids in the back, and then as soon as you saw one, you would bang on the top of the truck or the ute, and everyone would bail out. One kid would just keep the spotlight on it, and we would just try to chase it. Just
with no weapon or anything?
No weapon. Just legitimately trying to ridiculous. Grab it with your hands yeah. like a bunch of idiots.
I mean, because the claws like F you up?
Big time. Yeah, they could really mess you up. And so you would grab them by like kind of the way you would pick up a cat if you had like just on like the backside of the arms. You could pick them up and kind of flip them over.
I wouldn't. I'd be the guy that stayed them. In the ute.
Yeah.
That's exactly where I'd
all over that
stay.
Spotlight.
Yeah.
Yeah, from the truck, just staying up in there.
Yeah.
You got him!
Yeah.
But yeah,
that was church camp.
Did you ever
huh?
catch one?
Yeah, we caught every year. We'd get at least one or two.
And what'd you do with them?
Just
them release
let everyone,
it?
Yeah, let everyone pet it.
And are they, do they hiss and pet it?
Yeah, just kind of, they're furry. They're great.
That's like catching a wild raccoon or something. And like, come here and pet it, everybody.
Yeah. And so
they don't fucking bite or attack?
No. I mean, they might. We could just kind of roll them over and that'd be it. They weren't super aggressive, but. Yeah.
Man, sounds like wild, sounds man. Like that church camp had some budget issues and they're
no shit.
I'm going to entertain these kids. Let's send them out there looking for wombats.
I mean, we had the first day I ever went to that church camp, there was like this zip line down this massive hill, and it was just a cable with a mattress up against a tree at the end. And I remember my brother.
I like the sound of that.
It's so sketchy. My brother's friend, first, there's a hitch in the cable. He's at like the high point. Click and just falls off, breaks his arm.
What do you? You're not fastened or hooked anymore.
No,
you just have
no,
to hold
no,
on.
No. It's like literally just like two. Think of like two like bike handlebars, kind of.
You know who would crush that? The guy with one hand that carbon hand. He'd just be hanging on a hot it's dog like, and it just hanging from that one carbon hand.
Doesn't need to break.
Fucking show off.
He goes with that one hand. You know it's carbon.
That's how he lost that other hand. It was just. So unsafe and so rowdy. And
was there a lake or anything?
No, just the ocean.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It
we just
ocean.
Had the ocean. Yeah, we would. We had like Santa Monica Pier or just like a pier. We'd have the big. They call them jetties. Just a big jetty, and we would go ride our bikes after school down to the beach, and then we would go fishing. And then once it started to cool off a little bit in the evenings, we would do jetty jumping, and that's where you would just go over the railing, and it's like jumping off of like a pier here, same size and everything. And it would there was a dolphin that would always float around and just like kind of hang out with everyone when you're jetty jumping. And then we went to, there's a small town, a little surf town called Elliston that they filmed part of like Endless Summer 2 at. So this little surf town. So we were out there for a trip and we're jetty jumping, we're hanging out. Bunch of dolphins are around and we're like, oh, this is awesome. Great. And then it's kind of in the evening. And so Sharky gets real sharky.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah. And so we, everything's fine. Nothing happens. Like, we're good. We go back. We told them we were jetty jumping. They're like, no, you shouldn't do that here at all. And we're like, why? They're like, there's been a great white like sighting here the last like month. So you got to like really not do that again.
And then some asshole was out here eating his picnic on a yeah. surfboard.
Fucking yeah. peanut butter and jelly. Yeah.
Yeah. Little chicken wing. Yeah. And then like, I want to say like a month or two later, yeah, some dude got snapped by the great white that had been like floating around. He was out on his surfboard and got attacked. So
killed.
Damn.
I think he died. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nope. Australia is the home of the dominant shit. The
yeah.
scary shit. Yeah. I see that all the time. The spiders are monsters, fucking huge. Yeah.
And even if the spiders aren't monsters, they'll kill you. Like, they're still so like venomous. And so, yeah.
So at what age do you come back to the States then?
So 12? I come back here when I was 12. Yeah. 12. And like end of sixth grade.
Right to Colorado.
Yep. Right to Denver. And I had like super thick accent, so every like person wanted
Australian accent.
Yeah, super thick. So I came here in middle school, and I was like the novelty Australian kid. So everyone was like,
even though you're not, that's hilarious,
right? Even though I'm from, right. Well, in Australia, right. Everyone's like, oh, you're from America, and then from here, you're like, oh, you're from Australia. And so I've always been from somewhere else, even though I'm like I'm from here. And so yeah, I had a really thick accent, and
it's a great album name, From Somewhere Else.
From Somewhere Else, mm-hmm. I'll keep that. And as soon as I got to middle school, all the attention was on me right away because I was like the cool Australian.
He's from Oceanside. Jesus Christ.
It's like that, just down the five. And I got mobbed like the first day. It was like everyone's like, oh, say Foster's Australian for beer, say the dingo ate your baby, say all these things. I had no idea what that meant. I'd say like crocodile hana, say crocky, say all this stuff. And I was like, I don't know what this is. And so I was like, I want to actively lose my accent. And I like was practicing an American accent, like R's, like, you know, really trying to push it out. It, like, pissed my brother off because he was in high school and he was like, dude, don't lose it.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
do not lose it.
He's probably, it. That's yeah, what he's it probably is. Getting laid left and right.
I'm the rat.
Drop the weapon. Yeah. And so I got to high school and I was like, yeah, fucked up. Should have kept it, but
yeah.
Whoops.
Does any of your family still have it?
No.
Even your dad, who loved it so much?
Yeah, no. Every once in a while, like, a word will come out, like, you know, drunk enough, yelling loud enough, getting in fights loud enough, and it'll come out. But, yeah, it's not.
Maybe if you had kept that accent, you would have been stuck with the same chick your
for
whole life.
13 years.
That's what I wanted to say next. Yeah. So,
high school sweetheart.
You're back here at 12, and within 5 years, you're married.
Pretty much. Yeah, I didn't get married. We got married late.
I'm sorry, gotcha.
But no, totally. But we've been together since we went to prom together. And then
17.
Yeah, so I was 17. She was 16. My senior year, her junior year. And then we just have been together ever since. Yeah. I think Nate Bargatze is the best joke about that because he's been with his wife or girlfriend for a long time. And it's basically like, do you ever go on a first date and then just like you're married? Like, that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Like, and so it's basically what it was. And so I knew her older brother and I'm close with, she has four brothers and I'm close with all of them, but I knew the older brother first. And then we would like hang out, go rock climbing, mountain biking, hang out all the time. I'd spend the night all the time. And then we started dating. They're like, yeah, you can't spend the night here.
Yeah, right? Shit. You're out of here now.
Knock that
dude.
Off. So.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Was there any ever friction early on when you started dating her outside of them not letting you sleep there?
No.
They were like, yeah, that's cool, man. You want to get on with my sister, guys?
Yeah, they've always been cool about it. I think for them, it's kind of like they know that I'm not a piece of garbage. So they were just like, that's great. If it's Jeff, then the cool. And then they've just never had to worry about anything else. And so that's I think it might be a relief for them.
Yeah.
Maybe, but yeah. It's been great. And so, yeah, we've dated for 8 years. And then I finally, and by the time I was like, you know, about to ask, we had friends who were in together in high school, broke up in college, got back together, got married, and had kids. And Mallory and I, or my wife and I, have just been like together the whole time. Like,
Mallory,
yeah, I remember hanging out. Yeah, her name's Mallory.
Who sings
Steve
that?
Steve Winwood, bro. You don't know that one? It's really Valerie, I think. But I want to put Mallory from
Family
Ties.
It's funny, her brother calls her Val. Yeah, her brother calls her Mal.
Did your dad marry you?
He did. He did. So he was there. He's married all of us.
Presbyterian wedding costs $15,000.
our wedding was the only wedding that no one passed out at.
What do you mean?
So
being shit-faced.
From just being dehydrated, I guess. No one was drinking.
What?
Would you have it in the Outback?
Yeah, where'd you have it?
We had it. So ours was outside in Colorado. It was like 95 degrees, but no one passed out in ours. My sister's was in Greenville in South Carolina, and her husband... my dad was marrying them, and we're in the church, and he just goes pale halfway through the ceremony, just like
cold feet, huh?
yeah. Then he just ran, and he went ghost white. His like knees lock up, and he's a big dude. He's like 6'5", kind of like a bigger guy, and he just falls right on my sister. And me and my brother are like,
save it for the honeymoon suite.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Get a room. Yeah,
lock it up. And so he just, boom, eats shit right into her. She catches him. And then like he has a glass of water, kind of takes it easy. My dad handles it great. And that was that. But then in my brother's wedding, he got married in Akron in Ohio. That's where his wife is from or was from. And we're at this really nice Masonic temple. It's Akron in the summer. It's super hot. And then my cousin was one of the bridesmaids. She's all the way on the end. And same thing, just hot, sweaty. And I look over and then I just see her like teeter back and just boom onto her back. She's the last one on the bridesmaid side. And just,
damn. What the hell's going on?
I have no idea. So that
I've seen one friend get real close. We were in a Greek Orthodox church in Baltimore City, and it was 100 and something outside and humid and so much hotter inside. No central air in this church or anything like that, obviously. And he was, you could see him. We were all waiting. He was teetering.
Yeah.
He had a rag. He was dabbing himself. Like he did everything, but he did everything he could.
Yeah. It went from like 0 to 100 with both of them. It was just like, everything's fine. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh no, it's not. And they were both down so fast. And so I don't know. But our wedding was 95 degrees, everyone was pouring sweat, and everyone was thinking someone was going to drop. But
I think in a lot of your experiences, you're pouring sweat. Cut from the basketball team, pouring sweat. At the ER, pouring sweat.
Right now.
Look at him right now.
Yeah, always sweaty. I'm the sweatiest person on earth.
I'm looking over your stories here. You and I have something in common I didn't realize. We've both met Pete Rose.
How about that, bro? Yeah, heavy air quotes on meeting Pete Rose. So we go to Vegas, and I'm 21, a big group of buddies from high school. We all had kind of turned 21, 22 together, and the first friend from our friend group was getting married. And so it was the first time anyone's actually like, you know, they're going for it. And so we're like, let's all go to Vegas. They're doing it. And let's go to Vegas, have a big bachelor party. It'll be great. So 10 of us go out. We stay at the Imperial Palace, 2 rooms, 10 dudes.
That sounds like a Chinese food.
I was going to say the same thing.
It's the same place. It's the same place Tobler got thrown out of for throwing the roulette ball.
Oh, okay. The roulette ball. Gotcha.
And so it's a nightmare of a place. And so we're there.
10 guys, 2 rooms.
10 guys, a joined room. So it's one big room with 10 guys. God. Like, just, we had a guy sleep in the hallway just because too drunk. And so it's a crazy trip. But we walk out. So we get drunk a bunch of nights. We're there too long. We're there for like 4 days, which, like, with that many people and being that aggressive, it's like 2.5 max. Mm-hmm. And we go out the first night and the second night, and then that second or third day, it doesn't matter. We're walking down in Caesar's Palace, and they have that sports memorabilia place, and they have celebrities that come in and sign memorabilia, and they like have appearances and stuff. And it's probably 10:30 in the morning. Like, we just woke up. We're like pretty hungover. We're like, oh, let's go look at, you know, some sports stuff. Like, cool. We walk in. No one is in there. It is completely empty. There's a guy working in the corner just minding his own business. And then over in the far corner is Pete Rose sitting at a table with his Reds hat. Mm-hmm. There's a little velvet rope in front of him. I don't know if it hadn't started yet, but we just walk in.
Listen, don't kid yourself. Pete Rose started. He was up there with the sports book and everything else. So, you know he was gambling. He was making money on that money.
We look over, and he's counting 20s. A stack of 20s watching horse racing, like betting on the horses.
Of course he is. Maybe what it just ended, the little signing period, because that guy just sells his autograph like crazy.
It wrapped at 10:30 a.m.
It was
wrapping.
So early.
Come on.
I don't know what was happening.
Maybe he's a piano player in a lounge, yeah. You know, who puts money out so it looks like he's already got some tips.
Yeah. It was so on brand for Pete Rose. We're just like, yeah, that makes sense. And then we didn't say.
He's like, I own this horse.
Yeah, we didn't say hello. We just were like.
You didn't say shit?
Nothing. I was just like, I guess, man. Cool. And then we walked out. We were in bad shape. We were in no shape to talk to Pete Rose. But
I mean, first of all, I think you can be in any shape.
Yeah, I was about to say.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't give a shit as long as you think he should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Which he should.
I don't know anymore.
What do you mean?
I was a big Pete Rose fan, as we all know. But I read this thing about, I think this was at the end of last season. They were going to retire his jersey at, I think it was Philly. I think it was when he played for the Phillies. Or maybe it was Cincinnati. I can't remember. He played for both.
Yeah.
But that night, they were doing a jersey retirement ceremony. The only people really acknowledging him in the first place. And I guess a story broke that when he was in his 20s playing for whatever team it was, he had sex or had a relationship with this underage girl, and it came out. And they had asked him, and he was like, yeah, that happened. And they were like, oh, okay. And they canceled the whole night's event and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, it got a little
but
weird.
But did she
Peter.
Know? I mean, was she?
Yeah, she's the one that brought it to light.
But was she like, was it against her will?
No. I'm not saying.
And how young was she?
Because
there's a difference between 17 and a half and 14.
I think she
Do you
was
know
like,
what I mean?
I think she was like 16,
yeah.
Something like that. And he was in his 20s or whatever. And they just were like, nah, we're not going to do that. Because she brought it to light. Yeah. She brought
it
to light.
Well, she's bringing it to light, then she's either, like, it affected her.
It definitely affected her.
Yeah.
I'm not saying anything was against her will, but, you know, as young as she was at that point, she was like, hey.
She's very manipulative or can be manipulated.
Exactly.
Or not manipulated, but, like,
vulnerable. And influenced. Yes.
Wait, what word was that with no L in it?
Vulnerable.
Vulnerable.
I don't even think he put an L in there.
Vulnerable.
I put
vulnerable.
Two in there, play.
Slur them together, turn into an M.
So that same trip. The next night, we're out, and we're at the Encore, and we're super just having a good time. It's probably 2 in the morning. We walk out of the Encore, and there's those big circle drives that, you know, everyone rolls up in there, like limos and the drivers and all that stuff. And we walk out, and we're heading to the next place. And out, this big Lincoln Navigator limo rolls up, and it's like probably 3 or 4 rows back in the lineup of cars. And it's Dennis Rodman gets out of the back of this limo with like all these girls,
the worm,
all
huh?
these dudes. Yeah, the worm. He's wearing his jersey. He looks
his
like,
own jersey.
No, he just looks.
Oh,
he's dressed
say,
like a magician. With
well,
like
I,
his
wouldn't put,
shit.
I wouldn't put it past
no,
him.
Me either.
Yeah, that is too close. And so he gets out, and he's massive, just a dinosaur-looking person. And I'm drunk enough to be like, I like basketball. He plays basketball. I'm gonna go say what up. And my friend's like, that's a great idea. Just go say hi to Dennis Rodman. And I'm walking, and so I'm beelining it, like, directly, like, I look like a psycho, probably, coming right for him, and I get pretty close, like, probably 5 feet within, I'm like, oh, I'm like, and I kind of go, Dennis, like, halfway through the word Dennis, this massive hand from some bodyguard. Just,
was it a carbon hand?
Yeah. This mitt, yeah, it's flexed on me, and the guy's like, yeah, I haven't forgotten about UNC. So this dude hits me right in the chest so hard, just like stops me, like sobers me up 100%. And all he goes is just goes, nah, man. And I was like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
and just
walked,
I was like, yeah, you're right. And just walked away. I was like, that's it.
That's dope.
It was, I felt so stupid.
He just got over to China.
Is he over there?
Oh, yeah, he's over there for the
the worm.
Trump meeting.
Fixing their relationships.
I like the worm, man.
Trump said he's not invited, but he's over there because he's going to be like, you know.
Oh, he did say Rodman wasn't invited?
That's what Trump said.
You don't
said.
Tell the but worm now.
The worm said, oh, really? Because I'm tight with Kim Jong.
Yeah.
So he's supposed to be there for the summit or whatever.
That's so crazy. They love basketball.
They love him.
Him.
Have you watched that doc when he took that team over there?
Yeah. Mm-mm.
Isn't that crazy how crazy he is?
It's insane.
It's insane how crazy Rodman was.
Yeah.
I mean, he's fucked up.
Yeah.
But it's a fun one to watch.
You have a couple more stories here I want to ask you about. So you, I don't want to give too much of it away, but you got a story about an altercation on stage.
Oh, so.
So wait, real quick. How long have you been doing stand-up?
So that's a good question because I started stand-up because of this podcast. And so
unbelievable.
It's crazy. That's why
your art career is taking off.
I don't know if that's a good
podcast.
Thing, but
I was going to say
it's not good.
You know, you want to think you do this podcast for good.
And then you fucking
saw the tape.
Yeah. I love it. I am blown away that it moved you to try stand up. We do actually get a lot of emails from people saying they want to try it and without again, we say it all the time, without sounding like an asshole, the only way you can actually do stand up is go fucking do it. That's
And keep doing it. And so about 6 years, like off, like so I did it like a little bit in college, and then once I started listening to The Feast, it really we moved out to California, my wife was in school out here, and that's when I really started like going to mics.
Yeah, cuz when you when you first reached out and you and I started corresponding, you were in Southern California then.
Yeah, okay. I was out in Claremont in the Inland Empire.
Did she go to the one of the five schools out there?
No. She went to a PA school out there.
Yeah. Well, you know, everyone can get something, you know.
Got to work hard. You got to work hard out there.
So then you left here back to Denver.
Yep. And then Denver has an awesome comedy scene and then
so wait, we've been doing this podcast how long? 5.5 years?
Yeah, almost 6 years.
6 years, coming up on 6. So you've been doing comedy how long then? Roughly that amount of time?
Yeah.
5 years?
Yeah.
So just 2 years ago, you were only roughly 3 years in when you worked with us in Denver.
Yeah.
Oh, you're good, dude. Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Hanging
so
in
then
there.
Today it's been roughly... I'm just kidding.
I mean,
a lot of roughies out there.
I
don't want to disrespect you in any way, but we actually wanted you to come in today because we're actually looking for a Crabfeast manager. Oh. I don't know if you can fucking...
you guys need some Gatorade?
Get some Gatorade for us. Maybe run. We just like to run picks around.
I know
what
to do with one hand. Yeah, we can get some jumpers up. Yeah, and so.
So did you start here in California then?
Pretty much. I did a couple mics before I moved, but I would say that I actually started like caring. And
Flappers.
Like,
you do Flappers out
Claremont,
there.
Yeah, Claremont. Like the Sunday night mic at Flappers.
Uncle Clyde's and all that stuff.
Yep, all that stuff.
Uncle Clyde's.
They have a competition out at that one out there.
Yeah, so Flappers Claremont is where I basically did everything. And then I moved to Denver. Denver scene is amazing.
It is amazing.
And so I'm so lucky to be there. And
you're spoiled.
Big time. And so Comedy Works takes care of us really well. And then last year I got promoted and was like put on the list at Comedy Works to be like a regular. And so I get to do weekend shows there. And
at
like
the downtown club?
Both clubs.
I mean, they're both great, but that downtown club is something
it's
else.
Insane. It's insane. It's insane. I was telling Jay before, like, if you have a good set on a good night at the downtown club, like, you don't recover from it. Like, it's like you're vibrating. It's so, it just hits the back wall and then it hits you in the face.
It's built for laughter. Like,
it's crazy. Yeah. And so. We're super spoiled, and I've been doing stand-up out there, and then now just coming out here doing shows, trying to just keep it moving. But, yeah, so we were at in Denver, there's obviously there's a ton of breweries, there's a ton of distilleries, and so we did a show. I was doing a show at a distillery. I'm in the back of the distillery, kind of open air. They, like, kind of open these big garage doors, and the tanks are behind you. It's always a really fun setup, and... I'm probably 5 minutes into my set. I'm doing like 15, and everything's going great. Crowd's great. Everyone's just having a good time. And off the street comes this lady, and she's like visibly drunk. She's blackout, just kind of stumbling.
Just right off the street.
Just around.
She's you approaching Rodman. Man.
That's it. Yeah. Nah, man. And so she just stumbles in the back, starts to like you kind of just talk, but she's so drunk. She's basically yelling. And at that point, the whole crowd is just kind of like, you know, we've lost focus and everyone's kind of looking at her. And then she walks up on the side of the stage. It's not even the stage. It's just kind of towards me. And the bathroom was off to my left for the whole distillery. And so she just clearly came in here to go to the bathroom. And as she's walking up, she's making a scene. She's just being loud. She's being drunk. So I acknowledge it. I start talking to her, kind of doing like some just crowd work with her, being like, oh, like kind of making fun of how drunk she is. Get a couple laughs. And then she's like, clearly doesn't like that I'm making fun of her drunk, and she's clearly beelining it for the bathroom. She goes in the bathroom, kind of make a joke about that. She comes back out like so fast, like clearly just peed, whatever, But I make a joke about her like taking a huge shit and like whatever, like being a problem. And she, that just went from like, haha, we're having a good time to like, that's not okay. And you could just see it in her eyes. And she walks over to me and she starts punching me in the ribs.
She physically attacked you.
Physically punching me in the ribs. And
she, would you think she's like the size like a full grown kangaroo?
Well, she's like 6'4". And so, yeah.
6'4".
Yeah. She's like, yeah, 4'11 to 7 foot. And so she starts punching me. And at first I was like, I thought she was kind of joking. I was like, oh, this is silly. And then I realized like she's going for it. Like she's full swinging at my ribs. And it doesn't really hurt. It's like a drunk lady really trying to like hit me. And so I grab her on like the shoulder and like kind of hug her.
Yeah, because now you're in a position where you can't push her.
No.
Because you attacked her verbally.
Yeah.
You can't do anything really other than sort of take it just and hope someone else comes and pulls her off.
Give her a throat jab or something.
I mean, you still, that's all. That's the video you're going to see online.
Yeah.
Colorado comedian punches. That's all you're going to see. That 3 seconds. Yeah.
Large man hits average size
exactly
woman.
Right.
I'm like, this isn't good.
That's why you don't engage.
That's
man.
And so I felt weird like hugging her because I grabbed her, but kind of like on the shoulder neck area and pulled her in so she would stop hitting me. And I was just was having like laughing, trying to be like, how the hell do I get out of this? And I kind of squeeze her tight, and I'm like, what are you doing? And she just kind of mumbles, and I was like, what's your name? Like, who are you? And just she goes, Ralph.
Said the name, or she threw up on you?
Said the name Ralph. Oh, okay. Her name all was right, Ralph all right. at that point in time, and that got a big laugh. Just this lady.
I'll tell you what's going to get a big laugh right now.
Ralph!
It's there, girl.
Don't the bath.
Yeah.
Ralph.
Clean up. And so she says Ralph. Everyone's kind of like, all right, that's insane. And then I asked her, I was like, what do you do, Ralph? Like, what's your job? And she's just so blackout. And the first sentence she says is, I drive kids to school.
Your kids or other people's kids.
That line, her saying that crushed harder
I'll
than anything I could have said.
You should have just wrapped up. That's like, good night, everybody.
And basically, I was like, thank you for coming out. And then at that point, like the bartender came over and like got her off and she was upset. But then it was a scene in the parking lot. And I think the cops.
Why?
Just because she was getting kicked out. She was just super,
so she wasn't having.
No, she was real aggro. And the rest of the set was mediocre at best.
Everybody wanted to hear Ralph.
Yeah, right. Yeah, she was killing it. And so, yeah, that was that's the one time I've been hit on stage.
Yeah.
That's it.
You have another altercation story on here, too. What's this one all about?
Oh, man. So this one, I'm in college. It's the second year that I'm living in Greeley, the UNC school up in Northern Colorado. And middle of the day, I'm with two of my roommates. One of my roommates I'm really close with. We've been friends for a long time. We went to middle school, high school together. Then we were in college together, roommates our sophomore year. And then the other guy that we just went to the grocery store. The other guy in the car with us is a dude that I lived with for a year and didn't have his phone number. That's how much I didn't like being around him.
Damn.
Yeah. And so I just didn't vibe well with him. And so I was just like, we're not really that close. And he's in the back seat. I'm riding shotgun and my friend Chris is driving. We go to the King Supers, like the Vons, the Ralphs, whatever. And we're driving back to our place. And we hear behind us this like, that, you know, like when you're on the highway, you just hear like the most intense bass coming from someone's car and you're like, damn, like it was rattling our car. It was so loud. And it's a guy right behind us, just one dude, just like neck tattoos, like shaved head, just like this like gangbanger looking dude. And my friend or the guy that I'm roommates with in the back seat starts turning around and looking at him. Because he's like, damn, that's really loud. I wonder what kind of system he has. But he's just turning around and looking at him. And we're like, dude, it's just bass. Stop. Like, what are you doing? Like, just relax. Like, we're just going home. We got groceries. It's like 1 p.m. And that guy behind him sees him looking at him and gets like upset and starts like following us. Like, he like zooms up on our tail. And we're like, dude, why did you do that? Now we have a problem. And so my friend Chris.
And he's by himself.
He's by himself.
Yeah, and there's how many of you? Four?
Three of us. Yeah, and we're all scared. And we're all my size. All three of us are big dudes.
What's the kind of cars this dude driving?
He's driving like a Civic.
Gotta respect that, man.
Original
nice car, man. So,
yeah.
Gotta respect that.
He has a Civic, and we
great
are.
Great American car, man.
You know, Vlad's dad would be like, oh, that's a great car, man.
Yeah.
And so we're cruising, and then we start debating, do we go home or do we just keep driving to just eventually, hopefully this guy stops following us? We're idiots. And so my friend's like, no, we're just going to go home. Like, we'll figure it out. And if he stops in front of our place,
we'll fight him in.
That's it. Yeah. Well, hang out, man. In. Yeah. Let's play some Madden. And so we start flying through our neighborhood, and my buddy's like actively trying to lose him, but not like super intense, but he's just right on our tail the whole way. And we pull into our driveway, and we're on the left side of the driveway. My car is on the right side of the driveway. So two cars in the driveway now. I'm on the passenger seat. So I get out in between the cars. The other kid in the backseat who caused all this problem gets out in between the cars. So it's me, a door, and then the other guy. And then it's the driveway and the street. My other friend, the driver, gets on the driver's side, which is on the lawn. And the guy following us flies up in front of our house, screeches
on your lawn.
No, just like right in the street, but like up against the gutter, like other side of the street, and then just starts yelling at us, like, "What the fuck are you looking at, dude? Like, what are you doing?" Like, just going crazy.
Sounds like cocaine. That sounds like cocaine paranoia.
It was super paranoia, going crazy. And so I get one step, the door shut. I go to like walk towards him. My friend Chris is on the lawn. He like kind of takes a step, and we're just into aggressive mode. We're just like, "Oh, well, like, what are you doing, dude? Like, come on." We're yelling back at him. There's three of us, one of him. And we all take kind of a step towards him. And then we just see he reaches down and like
ease the seat back. Sorry, I had to go Panama.
Had to go what?
Panama lyrics right there.
And
reach down between my legs, ease the seat back.
Still right. Yeah, exactly.
And there's the tip of a gun. You just see the tip of a shotgun, like a black
shotgun
barrel.
Oh, like, holy shit.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say handgun,
no,
not a shotgun.
Just like,
a sawed off?
Yeah, basically. Just
holy,
like,
she's rolling around that in a Civic?
Like a tactical looking.
I mean, if you make a wrong turn, you get pulled. That's why I'm saying that is
all,
a drug induced.
From what you said, you were pretty far away. It could have been the club.
That's true.
The club, Sigil.
Yeah. Out here trying.
Could have been, I guess, a double barrel club.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He just ripped it right off his steering wheel and showed it to us. And so I see that. We all saw that at the same time, and I couldn't have jumped. It was the most athletic move I've ever made in my life. I jumped so far backwards.
Could have made the team.
Yeah, I was like, it was the coach in the car.
It was a D1
he's
jump.
He's like, oh, I was just seeing if you could.
Guy's like, man, it looks like I'm going to soup you a little bit.
Yeah. Maybe if he shot my hand off, I would have made the team.
Kangaroo would have been proud. Bro.
Yeah. And so I jumped back behind the car. And then the other kid in between, he runs behind me, and we're like kind of crouched. But then my friend Chris is in the lawn. He's in the middle of nowhere, and he's already walking towards the car, like kind of yelling at him. And so we all see that. We bail, and my friend Chris throws his hands up and just runs at the car.
What?
Yeah.
First of all, it's a shotgun. It's going to spray. So you're better off staying farther away from the car.
So far away.
Especially a sawed-off. It's going to spray even less accurately. The closer you get, the easier you are.
It was the worst thing you could have done.
And he's running.
And he's sprinting.
Sprinting.
And we asked, we're like, why?
That would scare the fuck out of me.
Mm-hmm. We're like, why'd you do that? He's like, it literally was just, I could have like hit it or gotten close enough. Just in the split second. I was like, you're going to die soon. Like, that's how this ends.
So what happened?
And so he pulls it out. And then, like, as we see it, all that stuff happens. My friend runs at him. And I think because he ran at him so, like, the guy was like, what? He kind of just laid it down. He didn't, like, pull it out and, like, put it out of the car. Just was out there. And my friend runs up there, and they're just yelling at each other. But as soon as my friend saw that, like, up close, he started, like, slowly kind of, like, go to the side in case he could just run around the back of his car. But then the guy just started yelling. He didn't pull the gun. He didn't shoot or anything. And then we slowly start to creep up at like realizing he's not going to actually shoot us, hopefully. And that was it. That's it was the most like,
and he just left.
He just
no. He came in. They had pizza.
Yeah. We're best friends. So
he never got out of the car or anything. Though.
Nope. And so we're shaking. We're losing. He knows where we live now because we're just that's our place. And he peels out, like gets out of there, like whatever. And
peeled out in that Civic, man.
Yeah. Just shooting out of the window.
Do you remember if it had original rims?
I think it had original rims.
Good man.
Yeah. Yeah, he is a good man. And like a week later, we're driving to that same supermarket. We're leaving our like little subdivision area of our home, like the neighborhood. And he's out in front of the last house on the way out of the neighborhood, just watering the lawn.
He lives there.
He's the last house in our neighborhood.
Just so he happened to be going to safety.
Watering
he might
the
not have
lawn.
Been following you all along. He was just going home.
Yeah.
But see, that paranoia, he's probably like, these motherfuckers know where I live.
That's it,
going
yeah.
right to my house.
These big dudes. And so we had to find a different way. Like, we never wanted to see him.
I would have altered
it.
I would have gone to a new grocery store, everything.
Damn. Yeah. And so.
Well, luckily nothing happened.
Yeah, dude. Damn. Ugh. I like happy endings, though.
Yeah. Nothing has ever, yeah, like I said.
I mean, if you want to call that an
yeah. Fair.
Well, it is today, my friend. Thank you so much for being here. This is great to get you on here, man. Thank you also for all you've done for the Crab Feast, all you continue to do for the Crab Feast.
And the comedy world in general.
Yeah, we love
your
work.
I appreciate it, man. You guys are the best. I love you guys. So well, happy to be here.
That's nice of you. One more time with your social media, whatever you'd like to promote.
Hit me up. GeoffReyTice. It's Jeff the wrong way across any social media. And then jefftice.com if you want to look at more artwork. So
go check his stuff out for
sure. Yeah, for sure. Joffrey, great to have you on. As always, jlarsoncomedy.com, jlarsoncomedy on all social media.
RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all social media. We'll talk to y'all next Tuesday.